A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. On our arrival in Rome, Paul was allowed to stay in lodgings of his own with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days he called together the leading Jews. When he had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, who have done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me, would have set me free, since they found me guilty of nothing involving the death penalty. The Jews lodged an objection, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not to add any accusation to make against my own nation. That is why I have asked to see you and talk to you, for it is on account of the hope of Israel that I wear this chain." Paul spent the whole of the 2 years in his own rented lodging. We welcome all who came to visit him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ with complete freedom, without hindrance from anyone. The word of the Lord. Well, we come to the end of the great cycle, Lent and Eastertide. It ends with a gospel ending, the Gospel of John, and the Acts of the Apostles. And the Gospel of John has a certain neat ending. It says, if everything that Christ had done was recorded, I do not think the whole world could contain the books that would be written. The Acts of the Apostles, on the other hand, ends very strangely, especially if you read in the original Greek. Ends with a single word, an adverb, which here is translated without hindrance, unhindered. That's the very last word of the last of the writings of the Gospels and the Acts. I always take the Acts as being itself part two of the Gospel of Luke, rather than a separate work. Strange ending, and yet, to me, very powerful, and in fact, very close to the heart of what the church is. The story of the church, which Luke tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, is a story of many hindrances, many obstacles, many things getting in the way. And yet somehow the church spreads. We're told that there were perhaps 150 at the beginning. After Pentecost, the numbers grow. And then they shrink. Some people abandon the church. Some people do wrong, misuse the church, are unjust, and always there's opposition. And even the triumphs of the church lead to more opposition. Paul's conversion, this astonishing work of God's mercy, to take the greatest enemy of Christianity and turn him into the greatest supporter, leads to more persecution. The appointment of Stephen, his martyrdom, leads to the church being scattered. And the pattern of the church is either, as you wish to see it, success followed by failure, or failure followed by success. Or more exactly, I think more truly, a success that comes from failure. Things go wrong so that things can go right. And always the church is growing. But Luke himself is very careful not to have any kind of climax at the end of his story. There isn't a high point where his characters, the people he describes, will attain to their final triumph, their final fruition of in Christ. Life goes on, the church goes on. You can't have an ending. And that's why the characters mysteriously vanish. Peter vanishes. And now Paul is vanishing. And he's left at precisely a point where, in the one sense, he has achieved what he set out to do. He has reached Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, the great city. In another sense, he is a citizen under house arrest who is able to talk to a handful of people, who is able to speak the word, able to give the gospel to people. But not in any spectacularly successful way. It's slow and it's quiet and it's relentless. But for a moment, it's unhindered. It's without hindrance. And that's all we should expect of the church. All we need to go forward without that little bit of hindrance. There'll always be new hindrances, new obstacles. But then hindrance itself is a word that speaks of powerlessness of those who try to stop the gospel spreading. Because after all, when Luke speaks of hindrance, he's speaking of martyrdom, he's speaking of oppression, speaking of savagery, speaking of exile, speaking of great suffering, speaking of unfairness, speaking of terrible things, and yet he says, these are merely hindrances, these are merely obstacles for a while. The church continues. And Christ, who has set his face for Jerusalem, is still walking through the world, because he sent out his church to all the places where he was to go, as we're told in the Gospel of Luke. Paul, in prison, at his own expense, I suspect, in his lodgings where he's not allowed to move, being guarded by the soldier, is still preaching the gospel. And that's the story of the church. It may not seem spectacular, but it's more powerful than we could imagine, because it's the power of God.